everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome. I am your host, Shane Tolt. Just like every week, as I dive into the backstage conversations that I have with other lead singers, there haven't been very many actual backstage conversations, no literal backstages for about a year now, but we've got a great show. Luke Gaffwood of Calling All Captains has joined me. Calling All Captains, a newer band. They've been kicking around in Edmonton, Alberta for a little while as a local band, but now they're signed to Equal Vision Records. They put out an EP last year, well, 2019, which feels like last year anyway, called Nothing Grows Here. It's awesome. And they're announcing a full length, I believe, on the program. Luke announces the title. This is really, really sweet. We did this one over Twitch. Luke is such a visual person that I don't think anything will be lost in translation just on the audio side, but for sure, get on Twitch, okay? We're having a great time over there, twitch.tv/ShaneTold. I'm doing not all the podcasts on there for sure. A lot of them are just audio only still, but bringing them to life with the visual aspect of it has been really, really cool. So head over there. It's completely free. I'm doing them Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the foreseeable future, including this coming Tuesday. John from Switchfoot is joining the program. What a great band. That's super cool. I think the week after is John from The Main. After that is Andy Sizek. So yes, you don't want to miss these ones live coming at you. And I usually hang around a little while after, kind of hang out with the people, answer some questions, you know. It's a great way to interact with me and the guests. So don't sleep on Twitch, twitch.tv/ShaneTold. In other news with me, I am recording this from outer space. That's right. If you didn't catch the Silverstein Out of This World virtual concert series last Saturday, then you wouldn't know that. But don't worry about me. I'm fine. I'm fine up here. Everything is good. Not sure what this Saturday's show will entail, but make sure you tune in. We are going to perform Discovering the Waterfront from start to finish. Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can get tickets for that, for the show you missed, for the show coming up next week where we're playing acoustic at SilversteinStore.com. It's been a lot of fun and we're making a whole thing of it. So don't miss it. VIP packages are available and it truly is a great way to help out artists right now. If they're doing any sort of stream at all, definitely check it out because right now, a lot of us, that's all we got in this world. So head over there to SilversteinStore.com. And before we jump in, a reminder that you can always get in touch with me. I check my email every day, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. If you got suggestions for the show, if you want to tell me I'm doing a great job, a piss poor job, whatever it is, I will read it. And I usually write back as well if I have time. Some weeks are busier than others, obviously, but I do enjoy reading them. And thank you for all the messages. If you want to support the show, check out the All Access Club as well for as little as $6 a month. That gets you a whole whack of stuff. The link for that, leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. And I think I mentioned Twitch, but I'm going to mention it again. twitch.tv/ShaneTold. We're doing lots of stuff over there. All right, well, let's jump in to my conversation with Luke Gaffwood of Calling All Captains. Yo,
man.
Luke, what's up, man?
Dude, I'm doing well. Thanks for
live.
Having me.
Live on Twitch. It's good.
Oh,
it feels good. It's a beautiful, snowy Tuesday where I live.
It's snowy here, too.
Well, you're from Edmonton, and it's like the coldest place on Earth.
Pretty much.
Like, definitely. Straight up.
Dude. It's fucking cold.
I remember... Yeah, we for some reason, whenever we would tour Canada, It was always this time of year, like literally January, February, we'd always come through. And when we'd play Edmonton, it was actually fucked. Like, I'm talking negative 50.
Yeah.
Like, actually, I'm not exaggerating. Literally minus 50. And like, you would spit and it would bounce.
Oh, man.
My goodness. Like I honestly don't know how I survived. You know, we played, I remember one time we were at the Starlight Room, you know, right there downtown Edmonton. And when you walk down the street, at the end of the street, there's a mall.
Yeah.
Edmonton loves malls, obviously. And
we have like seven.
Yeah. And the biggest one in the world. And yeah, it's like crazy because, I don't know, what's that walk? Maybe 5-6 minutes. And I was walking with our guitar player, Josh, who he's always been a bearded man, always liked the beard. And when we when we got to the mall, I hadn't really looked at him because, you know, you're just walking, we're talking, we're trying to walk fast. I looked at him and he looked like one of those mountain climbers that had like succumbed, like trying to climb K2 or something. Like,
just looks like a Jack Frost beard.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly. Oh, man. So how's everybody in the chat doing? We got lots of people up in here. Lots of Calling All Captains fans, I think. Even some band members. Great to see y'all. First things first, does it sound okay? Do we look okay?
I know Luke
looks great, but...
Hey, you look great, too. That wall, I just got to say, that guitar wall, looking amazing.
Yeah, I got a couple guitars, and I got more. That's not even all of them.
Nice.
I've been trying to rotate them out in and out a little bit for different looks. Oh, what you got there?
I just have my one. I bought myself a guitar because I haven't had one since I was like 13.
Sick. Is that a Telecaster? Yeah,
it is. It's a Telecaster Player Series, but I swapped it out. I put Black Winters inside it. And the Telecaster with the humbuckers was my favorite thing.
Yeah.
It's a rare thing for me, so.
Yeah, no, I have one too, actually, right here. Well, we're showing off Telecasters. I got this one right here. Which is also a Telecaster with humbuckers. This is a 72 thin line reissue. It's not an original 72. I got this around 2003. So I don't know. It's almost 20 years old, maybe, but it's not like an original. But yeah, I love this guitar, man. And yeah, a lot of people would think, oh, it's Telecaster. Like, it doesn't. This sounds so beefy, man.
Yeah, man. They have the girth. Sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't even know what pickups are in this thing, but they're sick. And this guitar was used exclusively on that Silverstein Shipwreck in the Sand record. Like, I think a whole bunch, and it's a pretty heavy record. So yeah, I love this guitar.
Yeah, man. There's great songs on that record for sure. It was all recorded on that guitar?
Not all of them.
Pretty much all
the songs that I played guitar on, I played those. That guitar. I can't remember what we used, but I remember I kept coming back to that guitar on that record because it had a certain character that I like. But anyway, dude, let's jump in. I am here with Luke Gaffwood or Gautier. I don't know which one it is. I'm confused.
You know what? It's my last name is Gautier.
Yes.
Like, but I just go by Gaffwood.
Okay.
Sometimes, so, you know.
I like it. I don't mind it. You can do whatever you want. It's great.
Yeah, man. It's crazy.
And you know, talking about from the band Calling All Captains, Edmonton's finest. You know, I feel like a band that I've known about as sort of like a local band, I guess. You know, I know you weren't a part of the early days of the band. You're kind of like the new guy, but here we are now with, you know, you guys are signed to Equal Vision, and you put out some great material and more coming.
Yeah, man.
It's kind of an exciting time, but it must be a little bit bittersweet with where we are right now in the state of the world.
Well, you know, I think one of the biggest things about the band, too, it's like, I'm not an original member, but I used to play drums before I sang.
Oh, okay. Cool.
It's like throughout all of CAC, it was just kind of like me playing the drums, like writing the tunes, being low key. But it was like 2017, our old singer had left. And then I was basically thrust forward to be the singer. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't believe that literally after we recorded these like five songs, how much the band had grown and amassed to with just an EP. Like we don't, I think one of the biggest things is that why we kind of, like you said earlier, it's just like, you know, like all, mostly known as like a local band, is we don't have an album.
Right.
You know, we don't have that full length that's going to be coming, you know, like it's, but with, it is bittersweet, as you say too, because with these five songs, so many people have connected with them, like around, like all across America and overseas as well. But we've noticed that there's like a lot of people just getting into us because of the pandemic, but now we can't go play for them. You know what I mean?
I know.
So it's bittersweet that, you know, like we're very grateful that, you know, like doing our stuff on Twitch and YouTube, like Espresso Time and Twitch Talks, those things are doing really well and it's helping us grow an audience, but it's too bad that we just can't play for the audience. You know what I mean?
For sure. I know. And that's the thing. It's when you actually get out in front of people, that's when you make the biggest impact of being a great band. And, you know, there's so much out there now. There's so many great bands on the internet from everywhere. But when you're in front of somebody, I always felt like that's the way our band made our impact in the early days. There's that connection that really you cannot duplicate that. And that's the huge disadvantage right now for, you know, younger, newer bands like you guys.
Yeah. Especially with like, there's just something super special about the stage. You know what I mean? There's a magic. There's a magic there.
Absolutely.
And it's just, it's like, you can, when you get on there, you can almost slice the musical tension with a knife. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's right from the first chord to the last drum hit. You know what I mean? It's like pure magic. It's like, you know?
So being a drummer,
yes.
In the same band too, and moving from, you know, seated behind the kit, you know, it's a much different dynamic in a band. And I've had very limited drum playing. I have played live drums with bands. I think I did two or three shows in my life. I'm not good at drums, but I managed to do it somehow. It's a weird thing, man. There's a much different dynamic. Talk to me about how that felt for you the first time, and if you knew, like, you now you can move around. Like, that's not a thing you can do when you're playing drums. So, yeah, you know, talk to me about how that felt the first time, and how you, you know, someone saying in the chat, your stage presence is phenomenal with a weird thing. Yeah. You know, talk to me about that.
It's okay. So in my non-musician life, I'm very involved within the Métis community in where I'm from. And if for people watching who don't know what Métis community is, it's a mixture of First Nations, Canadian, as well as European, which includes French Canadian, Irish, and Scottish. Now, being a Métis person and being a young person, it's basically on me and my generation to make sure that we tell people about the culture like I'm doing right now, right? Mm-hmm. And make sure that there's awareness. And when we have events, there's an MC who knows how to talk to the people, who knows how to address the crowd, and, you know, like be a front man for the show, you know, master of ceremonies type thing.
Right.
So I was doing that. I have been doing that for about 6-7 years,
yeah,
almost.
Yeah.
And like since I was about 20, 21, I'm like 26 now. So before I was even drumming, I mean, before I was even singing, I had that experience, which helped me on stage. But the one thing that needed to come along with me to the front of the stage was not the stage presence. It was the vocal ability, which was right, probably the hardest part. Like I say it all the time. It's that, like, you know, you can be an amazing vocalist, but you got to have a cool voice too. you know, it's like, I feel like I'm the opposite. Like I got a super cool voice, but I'm still learning as the time goes on because I'm so new.
Right. Right.
So it's, that was the biggest, like, I guess, growing pain that I had moving up to frontman and being a vocalist was the actual vocalist part. because you know, because like I feel like I'm good. I'm good with people. I feel like you know, yeah. I could talk to like I remember we played. We opened up for the Offspring, for like 10,000 people, and I felt like I did a good job addressing that many people, which is absolutely bonkers. You know, like now that I'm saying it out loud, but like it's. I think just straight up the biggest issue that I had was being a vocalist part. But one of the coolest things and the best parts about it was the running around and jumping. Holy smokes. I had no idea you could like, you know, just.
There he goes. Yes.
Yeah. Just get down.
Yeah. Dance man. A bit. No, I mean, yeah. Like Lars Ulrich from Metallica, he likes to stand up behind the kit, but he just kind of looks like a dumbass when he does that. So yeah, no, it isn't the same for sure. No, and you talk about your role in the Métis community and working with, you know, Native Counseling Services and all that stuff that you've been doing, you know, as a leader, right? As a leader, as a role model for you know those people. And I think there's a certain knowledge that you have acquired doing that role that probably makes sense as, you know, showing a bit of confidence, showing a bit of those frontman abilities, you know?
Totally. I think that's one thing that I'll give a shout out to the Métis Nation of Alberta, just because they consistently offer me opportunities to make sure that I can continue being a part of my community as well as play music. You know what I mean? Because like if I'm touring, you know, like, because we toured lots in 2019, but when I came back and I was at home, they were like, hey, while you're home, you can, you know what I mean? It's kind of, it's rare to find a job.
You're 100%. Like and most people in that position, they're coming home and they're working at a shitty bar job and then they get fired and then they find another one when they get back or whatever. And that's, you know, for you to have both have kind of two lives, both doing, I think, important work. That's really great, man. And congratulations on that. And yes, like, you know, you're lucky now that you have that, you know, to do. Well, unfortunately, none of us can tour. That's a beautiful thing. And from another Canadian, you know, the work you're doing is important. And I really appreciate that too. And I'm sure many, many people of the people watching don't know anything about, you know, the Métis community and what it means. And we learn about it in school in Canada, so we know a little bit about it. But, you know, even Canadians don't fully get it, you know?
Yeah, man. Well, that's the thing, too, is that, like any subject in school, you cannot pay attention. You know what I mean? It's like I didn't pay attention to, like, half of that shit.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? So I think it's just important that while we're still in everyday life, there's still a bit of awareness here and there.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm just checking the comments here, and it's like, remember that time he had to play drums and sing? That was a wild tour.
Oh, did that happen? You did both, double duty?
Well, our second day of our American tour, that was like six weeks long. I can't remember. It was a crazy tour. But second day, our drummer tore his rotator cuff. And we're in Idaho, you know, like we can't really this is our first like big, really like American tour.
Yeah.
So we're not going to cancel it. No.
Were you familiar with playing the songs? Like, have you ever played them before or you had to learn them right there?
Well, so for the EP, Nothing Grows Here, I actually recorded the drums for Nothing Grows Here and Disconnected.
Ah, okay.
So I recorded those in the studio, and I jammed the other songs with the fellas before we had Tim as like a solid person. And I wrote them out on the MIDI and stuff like that when I was writing the songs as well. So it's they were familiar to me. And I feel like that I was just learning them air drum style. I was in like, you know, I had our guitar player, Connor, he was driving the van. I was sitting there with some sticks, you know, like just trying to like, I was like air singing, air drumming.
Right.
Just for the show that day, right?
So, oh, man.
Yeah, I also just want to give a big shout out to Tim, our drummer, Tim Wilson. He obviously didn't mean to do that. But he was back to playing shows within 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Full force. Like, he was giving it all, and like, it was a cool 2 weeks having to do that. It was kind of, when I really nailed it, it was a bit of a flex, but like, it's other than that, it was, just wasn't the same. You know what I mean?
No, no. I assume they put you still at the back of the stage, or did they put you at the front?
Front. I was in the front, baby.
Sick. That's sick. Yeah. I don't think I've seen drummer, like bands with drummer lead singers. Like, a few come to mind. The one when I was a kid growing up was the Satanic Surfers. They're a punk band. I think they're from Sweden.
Oh yeah.
And it's like all fast, like fast shit. And he's singing, which was cool. And
Atreyu.
Snuff too. The band Snuff. They had a singer and Atreyu. But they also had a frontman. But I'm talking about like the drummer is the lead singer. You know, Phil Collins shit.
Like Spiderbait.
But
do you remember that cover band Spiderbait?
Spiderbait. No, I don't know. I don't know this band. No.
They did the soundtrack for Nicolas Cage's Ghost Rider.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did a cover, and I remember watching the music video, and then it was like just the drummer and the guitar player, and then that was it.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Well, we got a little bit of lead drummer syndrome here with this guest. Another great band whose drummer is a singer is, of course, Hail the Sun. And my boy Donovan, great band, great new single out now. I just listened to it again in my car. It's on repeat right now. I absolutely love Hail the Sun. And they do a cool thing, though, where Donovan will play drums some songs and sing, and then they have a drummer that comes too, and he's a ripper too. So
I have no idea. That's so cool.
Oh, yeah. Check them out. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
They're unbelievable. But no, man, this, you know, you bring up... probably the most interesting thing is about how, you know, having a cool voice is important. Having a good voice is important. Not everybody has both. Maybe not everyone always needs both.
It's true.
You look historically at some of the greatest bands ever, maybe not greatest bands, because that's a matter of opinion, but let's say the biggest bands ever. And I think of bands like U2 or The Cure, you know, just off the top of my head. Those are two massive, massive bands, both with singers that I would say they have very unique voices. You hear those bands, you know right away who they are. Are they great singers from a technical side? I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know if they're that good. But it's,
as a fellow Canadian, let's bring in the Tragically Hip. You know what I mean?
Right, okay.
In my opinion, I don't think Gord is like the most proficient vocalist, but as soon as you hear a T-Hip song, that is Tragically Hip. You know immediately who's singing what, you know what I mean?
100%. And I'm sorry, my messages are going off. I just got a new computer yesterday and I don't know what the hell is going on. In fact, I don't even know how to get, like, why are my messages connected to my computer? I never did that. Anyway, but no, absolutely. And I'll be honest, I can't stand the Tragically Hip. I've never liked them.
You know what?
At all, and I know, you know, it's sad what happened to Gordon and the band that means so much to so many people, and I'm not trying to be an asshole, like the band.
I gotta be honest with you, I did not like Tragically Hip until I saw him play and perform live.
Right.
Absolutely did not, was not a fan. I was like, forget it. It's like I don't like Rush, all right?
That's fair too. I'm not a huge fan either. Rush.
I can't do his voice.
Yeah.
It's just not for me. But you know it's Rush.
Closer to the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know immediately that it's Rush. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No, slapping the bass. No, I absolutely, yeah, I'm, and that's the thing, like, I really want to like these bands. They're from my province, my city, and they're like the bands that I always was like, yeah. Just not feeling these vocals, can't get into it. But no, absolutely, man. Like it's a good point. And now I think, though, to be fair, you know, you're just making your foray really into taking the frontman role seriously, I guess, right? So do you put a lot of practicing in? How are you trying to get better? Or is it just trying to, you know, just trial and error?
There is a special man on YouTube by the name of Jeff Rolka.
Okay. Rolka?
Do you Yeah. Do you know this man?
No, I don't know this man. I don't think I do.
Okay. So, I, in my opinion, when we were recording the songs for Nothing Grows Here, I could record them fine. Performing them, different ballgame. So, I remember we tried to do like a live run through of the record, and I was like, holy smokes, this is pretty difficult. I'll need to take some practice. So, mm-hmm. I went on YouTube. I found this man named Jeff Rolka. He has like an 11-minute, 12-minute warm-up. What I did is I do his baritone warm-up because I wasn't very comfortable in my tenor range, which is where most of the Captain stuff is.
Oh, okay.
So I was, well, it's like a low, I don't know. I sing all raspy and stuff, whatever. But yes, Jeff Rolka is the man.
There you go.
So, yeah. So basically I do his baritone. And then when I was comfortable with that, I do his tenor. And after that, I would attempt the set. And I would do that every single night for about 6 months, 7 months, until I could just perform the set fine. And
wow.
Yeah. Well, because I basically had to, like, I was a drummer. You know what I mean? I was not a vocalist. So I either had to get good or jump ship. So
right.
I had to do that. And since then, touring is just the best for practice. Holy crap. You know what I mean? You know, it's touring was great. We do Jeff Rolka's. We call them Jeff Rolka's, just the warm-ups. we do some Jeff Rolka's in the van on the way. We do them before the show. You know, we'd, you know, I do them every now and again. And because of my current job, what I do lots of driving. And I'll just sing in the car. I'll just pop on a Jeff Rolka, use up that LTE, baby. You know what I mean? And then I'll just like, yeah, just go on YouTube, just do the warm-ups as I drive.
Yeah.
I have lots of, like, I've been singing lots of, like, out-of-genre stuff. So
yeah.
my favorite artist is, like, Juice WRLD.
Uh-huh.
And so I'll sing lots of his songs. And then after that, I'll, like, sing some of my own. And then you know, it's just constantly practice. Like, I don't necessarily do like the hard training anymore, but it's just keeping up with it. That's
for sure. Juice WRLD is a great example of a very unique, very cool voice.
Man.
You know, maybe not technically the most gifted singer either,
but that's
a perfect example of that. You don't have to be, mm-hmm. you know, so there's so much to it is, you know, your own, what you're saying, how you're saying it. You know, more than just, oh, is he hitting the notes? Hey, we got auto-tune anyway, so it's fine. That's super interesting. No, I really, you talk about baritone and tenor and different ranges of voices. It's really interesting. I don't even know. I don't think that's ever been brought up on the podcast. 250 episodes, we never talk about, hey, oh, I'm a baritone, I'm a tenor. Like, I don't even know what I am. I don't even know what it means. I don't even know what it means.
You should subscribe to Jeff Rolka, because, like, man, if you know what, and you're a proficient vocalist, you've been singing for a long time, so, like, but just do one of his warm-ups. It's actually super interesting. It's free content. He literally doesn't even charge money for it, and it's crazy. But I can't believe that out of all these episodes, there's like hasn't been like a vocal range talk.
No, and I'd love to have one a little bit right now, if you don't mind, because I
really don't mind at all.
I don't know, like, I kind of know sort of where I can get to, like, where I kind of want to cut myself off on my high notes. And what's interesting is, like, I feel like a lot of people, as they get older, and I'm turning 40 next month, their voice, you know, will tend to get lower, right? I actually feel like I've stretched a little bit, and the kind of top note where I cut myself off actually has maybe gone up a couple semitones, but I'm comfortable kind of getting up to maybe at the top, like about a B or a C, I would say.
Okay.
You know, at the top of my range, but I'm mostly comfortable around like an A or maybe a flat is a great high note for me.
Okay. See, because I am not a music guy. See, like, I don't really know like the notes of where I can end and stuff like that. I kind of just base it off these certain videos that I can do and know that I'm comfortable with. Like, I know for a fact I'm a baritone. Like, you can just hear it in my voice. I got a deep voice. Yes, make the crowd sing the high notes. Yes, you know it. But I think it's It's interesting that you mentioned that, you know, like as you get older, you know, it's gets almost like your ceiling gets a bit higher. I think that comes with, because the voice and the vocal cords are muscles as well.
Right.
It's just as you start singing more and more, as your bodies like start to, you know, develop more and more as we get older, I think it's perfectly normal, in my opinion, maybe that the ceiling gets a bit higher, but maybe that's like a couple semitones too, like you were talking about. That's,
yeah,
that's a pretty interesting, like, I think, okay, my top of my range, let's...
You can get the Telecaster. I'm interested in this. I find this fascinating. Oh, he's got an acoustic too. There we go. Cool.
Was it? Because okay, our song "Chasing Ghosts" is high. That's high to sing.
Yeah, it's pretty high.
Yeah, it's that the in chasing is the absolute top. Like chasing, like that's the octave lower, right?
Right.
So. Yeah. So, I don't know how to play the vocal line on a guitar. But I think, especially with all of the newer stuff coming out, we've cooled it off a little bit in terms of vocal range. I've definitely learned how to utilize, because as I get to the higher end of the tenor range, my voice, it's just raspy.
Right.
You know, it's almost like... It doesn't want to be a clean voice anymore. It's like, no, forget it, you know?
But and that could be cool too, right? I mean, that, you know, that kind of character, sometimes people sound great singing right at the top of their range, you know?
Yeah. Something I forgot to mention too is, I guess, I in my youth, like when I was 13, 14, I never, ever intended to be a clean vocalist. I practiced screaming.
Oh, okay.
I'm a good screamer. I feel like I'm a better screamer than like singer. And like, it's like, as soon as I get like too high or like above a certain thing, it's like voice is like scream mode.
Right.
You know what? So I think that's maybe where a bit of my tone comes from.
For sure.
But it's right on the, like, if I'm singing in, like, we have a couple songs that switch from a baritone to tenor. Like I do like a vocal, they call it the secondo passaggio. Like when you sing above the break.
Okay.
When you sing above the break in your voice, like do you know when you're singing like, let me use one of your songs as an example.
Ooh.
You know, like the verse in like Smile in Your Sleep.
Yeah. I know it very well.
Yeah. Oh, obviously, you know, you know what I mean? But like, so you know where the range is, and then,
yeah.
So that's like I'd say like that's a really comfortable range for you, is it not?
Yeah, it's a little bit on the low side. Yeah, it's a D. It's a that's a D.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, so right there, it's like, and then you go up to. You said.
Yeah, that's a G. That's a higher G. That's still a little low for me, but I can go higher than that, but that's. That's kind of a good spot for me.
Okay,
for sure.
So the way it sounds like you're talking, it sounds like you're talking not in that singing range. So when you're singing in like that range, there's like a little thingy inside your voice, inside your voice box or your vocal cords that does like a little switch.
Yeah.
It's like here's your chest voice, and then there's like a little break, and then it becomes your like. Secondo passaggio.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No. Yeah. You hear people talk about like the break in your range, right? Is that kind of what you're talking about?
It's more because I can have a really deep voice when I sing, so it'd be like, whoa, blue Christmas without you.
Right.
You know what I mean? But if you like, you can just sing like, what's it? If you want better, you know what I mean? Like then it's, those are two completely different voices that
for sure.
one of them is above the break.
Yeah.
And then one of them is below the break.
Right.
So I think my problem or my issue as a vocalist at the start was being able to do both of them in the same performance.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I mean, the other thing too is, you know, you talk about how much practicing you had to do, you know, going from a drummer to a singer, especially on tour, because that's a thing that I was super freaked out about when we first started like playing shows, or even the thought of like, okay, this isn't just like Weekend Warrior shit anymore. Because if we had a show on Friday, it would be a real challenge on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I'd be like toast. I wouldn't even be able to do it. So I was thinking, well, what am I going to do when we have to play shows like 6, 7, 8, 9 days in a row? And, you know, for me, it was like I just threw myself into that head first. It seems like for you, you took some preparation, which is really great. But was that still a challenge? Because practicing in your van while you're driving or doing a YouTube video is a lot different than running around on stage, you know?
I had no idea. I forgot that my very first show was in Kamloops, BC as a vocalist.
Beautiful. And love Kamloops.
We had a really great turnout. We had like 80 kids show up. And nice. Like, yeah, man, you know what I mean?
It was good stuff. That's great for Kamloops. Yeah, it's really good.
I never really realized, because, okay, because when you're, you know, like, you're at practice, right? You're there, you're singing, you're not really doing much, you know, like, you have time to, like, breathe, get everything, make sure you're breathing right.
Yeah.
I got so excited. I was out of breath by the second song. I was, like, jumping, and I was, like, and I was like, you can't sing if you don't have breath. And so that was a very quick lesson.
Yeah.
Because at that point, we were singing lots of our old songs with our previous vocalist, who was a hard tenor. You know, he didn't have no low voice to figure out.
Right.
You know, and so that was a real challenge, that very first show. I'm really thankful we had all of our homies there. I was, you know, doing that whole like, da da da.
You know, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was asking a few. Now to you guys.
Pass the mic.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. No, it's true. The other thing too that doesn't get thought about until you're there is how fucking hot some of those shows can be too.
Oh.
You know, and like I'll there'll be times when you know, let's say we're opening for another band, like this would happen with. Well, it wasn't last summer. Summer before now, when we were on tour with August Burns Red, we were playing right before them, and every single time I'd come off stage, just pouring sweat, of course. And they'd be like, "How hot is it today? Like I need a number out of 10." I'd be like, Jake, it's an 8.5 out of 10. You better pace yourself, you know. And you, because you straight up, you have to pace yourself if it's a super hot show too.
Yeah. Well, it's. That's actually pretty funny. Was there a show that you had where you were like, damn, it's cold?
Mm. Well, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. That's always a weird thing, though. Like,
isn't it?
If I'm too... sometimes, like, outside, for example, like, we even did a drive-in show. When was that? October, maybe? So it was, like, a little bit cold, you know? But no, there's definitely been shows where, you know, it's, like, a beautiful... venue, like a House of Blues type of venue, like with a brand new like air conditioning system, and nice little smoke blow ring there, dude. You can,
I'm not ashamed to admit it. I used to enter vape competitions, and I like wrap my own coat. Like, hold on, like I got my like.
Okay.
I got my big one.
He's vaping. Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, this is my business time one. You know what I mean? That's for playtime.
Well, yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you. Keep
no,
going.
No, it's fine. No, I mean, yeah, just sometimes when you walk on stage and yeah, you're like, what? It's cold, and you come off and you're like not sweating. It's like it doesn't feel right. You know?
Yeah.
You
need... It's almost like the show wasn't earned.
Exactly. Yeah. Kind of. Exactly. So, 100%, man. But okay.
Because you're from Ontario, do you know about a venue called The Doors Pub?
The Doors Pub? No, where is it?
Okay, it's like a local venue. I think it's in Hamilton. But this is like the hottest venue in the world. We played there in a heat wave, like an Ontario heat wave in the Bible Belt, or not the Bible Belt, the Banana Belt. You know, like right in that sit, like wherever Hamilton is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not good at Ontario geography. But,
it's all right.
But it got really, really, really hot there. It was like 33 outside. And then the inside, there was like 80 some kids there.
Yeah.
And there was no AC. The venue doesn't have a window. The venue doesn't have AC. It's very well insulated. So like the heat doesn't go anywhere. The whole band was playing in shorts and like shirtless. I remember I got a new hoodie that tour and I really wanted to wear it. And I don't like shorts. You wouldn't catch me dead in shorts unless we're swimming. There's no reason for me to wear shorts.
That's cool. Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a weird thing I have, but, anyway, I played that venue in a hoodie and pants and, holy smokes. If somebody is watching and has me on text message and has that picture from me from the show where I'm like looking all messed up, send it to me right now. I'll pull it up on the screen. It's basically, I looked like, you know that movie, The Goonies?
Of course. Yeah.
Yes. So, I'm blanking right now. What's that guy that looks funny? Is it Sloth? Is it Sloth? Okay, yeah. I look like Sloth. I look like Sloth for sure. Oh, man. That was great.
No, it's funny. We have, when we would do Warped Tour, you know, when that was a thing, some of those shows were like fucked up hot, you know, in the middle of the day. And we used to have a rule in the band that you could wear shorts on stage once per week. Take your shorts credit, because we didn't want to all wear shorts on stage. We thought like that might look a little funny, but like
it does look a little funny.
Yeah. I mean, there were times when we did it, and like, to be honest, I don't think we really ever care what we look like that much. We're not definitely not a fashion band, but we decided to make this a rule. and I remember I only took my shorts credit maybe once or twice, but one time in Las Vegas in the middle of the summer, you know, it was like 40 something, like 43 degrees Celsius. And you know, not to mention you're from the coldest place in Canada, Edmonton. So maybe you just can't handle the heat either. Right.
Well, you know what? It's okay. My dad's super funny. He's like an old guy. He's like age 68 now. He's, whenever it was like summertime and we were out doing stuff, it was like super hot. You know, we're at the park or whatever. I was like, Dad, I'm so hot. And he'd be like, pretend you're skiing up high in the mountains. It'll make you feel colder. And he must have told me that shit like at least 10 times, 20 times in my lifetime. But now, I remember one time, it was just stupid hot. We were in like Texas heat in the middle of summer. I was driving the van. Our van, it radiates heat from the engine. It's just like that. So yeah. I remember I was just like, I'm skiing in the high on the mountains, baby. And I was just like, keep telling myself that. And it's like mind over matter. You know what I mean? Only hardcore bands can have every member wearing shorts at the same time.
It's true. Yeah.
Or ska.
It's true. Or ska, yes. 100%. Yeah. No,
what is that thing they call it? They call it skanking, where it's like...
That's one way to skank. No, like, skanking is like this. Hang on, let me... I don't have a lot of room behind me, but...
No, skanking is like... It's like this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I can skank.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. No, we're skanking. We're skanking. If you were watching this on Twitch and not in the podcast, then you'd see this. But our van, we had our first 96 Dodge Ram van, purple, not extended, with no air conditioning and the heat permanently stuck on. That was something. We had this block heater, so the van had two bench seats, you know, your standard three-person bench seat. And in the back, the heat, like, there was no vents at the top like the fancy vans have now. We just had a block heater, which was against the left side of the van window. So if you were sitting there and you didn't know the block heater was there and you touched it with your leg, especially if you were wearing shorts, it would straight up burn you. We had a merch guy cook a grilled cheese sandwich on that thing one time.
Oh my gosh. You know what? It's like, oh man, I'm so hungry. Crack an egg. It's like calling all scoptons. No,
we're not. Calling all scoptons.
No, don't ever say that shit. No. That was a one time deal.
We got a Scoberstein here too, coming in hot.
Yeah, Scoberstein. Oh no. Okay, it can happen to you as well.
Oh man, no, this is amazing. Dude, you're a trip, man. Thanks for doing this. I understand you have some news, some Calling Out Captains news. Maybe you want to shout out to
the
people.
I do. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna stand up for this one. I'm gonna stand up.
Okay. Yes, please.
All right. Okay, wait. I just, because it's in typical Calling All Captains fashion, mm-hmm. if you're a fan of Calling All Captains, I need you to comment egg in the chat right now. I need a bunch of eggs in the chat.
Egg it up. Are you egging them on?
I am. I'm egging them on. So I'm gonna share with you guys right now, here today, the name of the Calling All Captains forced full length record. Is slowly getting better.
Okay.
The whole record is kind of the stories of like Connor and I have been through a lot together as friends. You know, like we're best friends. I mean, that's yes, slowly getting better. Boom. And these songs on this record is it's kind of a story of slowly getting better. You know, like we've all been through issues that we've had to deal with, you know, like substance abuse issues, traumatic experiences, death, loss, you know, it's all of it affects us heavily. And you know what? We named this record this before COVID even happened. So it's, as this record comes out, it's going to be like, everything is slowly getting better, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Well, when are we expecting this to happen? Because obviously a lot of things have been put in limbo. And you know, it's tough because you got to get music out there, but you know, you can't tour on it. So it's what's the plan there?
Well, it was kind of an interesting, it was interesting that happened. Cause like we, recorded the record here and, I don't really know how much I can say, to be honest.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I don't really know, like, maybe I'll be like Tom Holland leaking Endgame before it happens, you know what I mean? But it was, we had the record, like, mixed, mastered, everything, but we had interest from a Canadian label that we're currently talking to. And there was an opportunity to have Caleb Shomo mix the record.
Oh wow.
So you know, like we got, you know, like is of course, if you know our manager Cam and Cam Birchall.
Love Cam.
Yeah. Dude, he's the best, dude. Can we just like,
yeah.
Shout out to Cam Birchall.
Shout out.
Yeah. And so he kind of just made it all happen, basically. It just kind of worked out in a way that you know, like Caleb likes the songs. You know, it's the label loves his work and his mixing, and so that's why it's kind of been a sec before we've had new music, because February 7th is 2 years.
Wow.
Of Nothing Grows Here's anniversary.
Yep.
So that's a long time to like ride off an EP. You know what I mean? That's a little
for
bit
sure.
too long. So,
no, for
but,
sure.
But I just want to like everybody here. I just want to assure everybody that the new music will definitely be worth it. And trust me, the reason why it's taking so long is that it's going to be the best possible product that we've ever put out. I want to touch back on it. If Ryan Kirby is in the chat still, I don't know, maybe he came out, but you should hit up your guitar player, Tuck.
Yeah.
Cause he heard a new Calling All Captains song.
Are you going to go on Featured X? Are you on there? Can people get you on their track?
You know what? I talked with him about that. He offered me a spot on Featured X, but I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait until we actually have a full length out, so that my features actually matter that much more. You know, I'm sure if a newer band puts out a song, it's like featuring Luke from Colonel Captains, people are gonna be like, "Huh? Who?" You know what I mean? It's so I just want to make sure that, you know, it's it really means something. And I want to give a big shout out to our Dan Sanshaw at Equal Vision Records
I love that guy.
Man, he's just the best dude.
He just is, man. I've known him a long time, and you know, even though we've never actually put out anything on Equal Vision, we're just such close friends. He's one of my favorite label people. And Francesca that runs UNFD, who is our label, you know, she was at Equal Vision for a very long time. I don't know if you knew that. So yeah, they're just great people, and it really is awesome that you guys are a part of that. And you know, I think, you know, you talk about it's been a while, right? You know, Nothing Grows Here, all this stuff, it's been, you know, a couple years, but people are still finding out about you guys though, you know. And I think that it's going to be, here we go, record is going to be worth the wait, 100%. I can't wait to hear it. Do you know, can you say when we maybe you'll get a single?
Well, it's kind of shit right now. In fact, I'll just say it's total ass because we're in lockdown.
Yeah.
So we can't really get together as like everybody to record this, because the spaces that we require for filming the video are not taking bookings because of the lockdown. Right. So is just releasing a single by itself is cool, sure, but it's got to have that, you know, that music video, because like it's the song we have coming out as the single, it's like, in my opinion, it's such a weird back song.
Yeah,
you know, like it's
a banger. It's a banger, then, huh?
Yeah, I feel like it's a good one. Yeah.
So yeah, you want all the eyeballs on it. I mean, I get it. I get it. You've been waiting 2 years. You don't want to put out something half-assed, and you've got a great team behind it and everything. And yeah, man, I can't wait.
Man, I can't either. It's gonna be dope.
Well, dude, this has been great. What else to tell the people? I know, you know, people are like, I wanted to talk to you more about what you did. You know, you do as your day job, you know, working. I have here, the information I have here is Native Counseling Services of Alberta as an administrative assistant. That's what I have your job as, working with Métis culture and heritage.
That's a job that I left that job.
Oh, okay.
when we did our big tour, but now I'm working with a different Indigenous agency called Métis Child and Family Services. So because of my experience within Native Counseling Services, working with like confidential documents at Service Canada, as well as being like involved within Poundmaker Lodge Treatment Center, which is a locally run Indigenous healing center here. Because of all that experience, I was able to get a job as a youth support worker for Métis Child and Family Services. So what that entails is there are some like Indigenous kids that are in foster care. Obviously it's ass. They don't like it. You know, there needs to be somebody that they can talk to, maybe even relate to a little bit. I don't look like your average social worker. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I wear this when I go out. You know, like imagine being told that you're a good youth worker. You're prepared for some dude in a suit.
Right.
You know, some guy wearing collared shirts or whatever. You know what I mean? But they see me, and I like all of my youth that I've been talking to and working with. Until I tell them my age, they think I'm like 17, 18.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for that. I'm 26, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, nail check. Mine, they're falling off, but yeah.
Love it.
Anyway. Yeah. But, so imagine somebody like this, you know what I mean? Coming through, these kids really open up to me, and, that's kind of been the hardest thing for me right now, managing my two lives, because I want to take, I literally just, I built a studio. Look at the Kemper.
Nice.
Yes, sir. Yes,
oh, beautiful.
Sir. Yes, sir. So we are trying to do lots of like studio work here. Connor and I, we built this studio in the house here. I live with my mom. Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's like, I'll get out of here one day. But we just built like a studio here, and we're planning to take like all of this stuff to the next level. But my job requires me like right in the middle of the day, like between like 12 and 5. So it's not really like a 9-to-5 job that right. I can kind of plan around. It's more like, man, I'm just getting in the mood for something in the morning. Then I got to go. You know what I mean? Or yeah. if I'm just getting back in the evening, and if like I got to want, like, you know what I mean? So I'm attached to my work, but at some point I'll need to leave the job for the music, which is, you know, it's kind of a catch 22 with about like personal passions and like something for the greater good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I 100% understand that. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, that are trying to be professional musicians have to go through that. But no, there's no shame in living with your mom. I mean, if you didn't live with your mom, you couldn't afford the Kemper, right?
It's not my Kemper. It's not my Kemper. No.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, so. No, if I didn't live with my mom, I couldn't afford cool things like a synth. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's
like,
tight. It's... Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. Someone's asking me what my last job was. My last job that I can remember was around 2003, I think, and I worked at a Coca-Cola Sprite bottling plant, and my job was to make sure that the bottles didn't fall over, and they fell over every single time, and I got screamed at, and I made it 3 days in that job. I think that was the last one. So yeah, I had a bunch of shitty jobs when the band was getting going, and luckily I've been fortunate to not have to have any.
Man. Hey, wait. You know what? It's I'm gonna ask you something. Did you ever, like, when Silverstein was like very, very first starting? Did you have those shows where it was like, wow, there's nobody here?
Oh, not even when we were starting. Even when we were signed, we had shows like that. But yeah, man. I mean, it was funny, you know, because we started out in a place like, you know, in the suburbs of Toronto, where we had a really, really good scene, you know, and I think that I just thought it was like that everywhere, you know, like any suburban area of any major city would have like shows where 200-300 people would be there every time, no matter who was playing. And then I quickly realized when we went on the road, our first tour was out east, you know, and we played a show in Fredericton, New Brunswick, and there was two people at the show. One was the promoter and one was the bartender, and then the other band that was playing, and we just got naked and played a show naked, and that was what we did. So we had plenty of those kinds of shows. Another one out east we had, I think it was in St. John, New Brunswick. We got to the venue, and it was pretty obvious right away that nobody knew we were going to be there. Like, and
oh, really?
Like the promoter wasn't there, and we told the bartender that was like opening up, like, hey, I think we're playing here tonight, and the bartender's like, I don't know about that. Got the promoter on the phone. The promoter's like, oh yeah, that's tonight. No. And we ended up sitting in the venue. We didn't load in because we knew it was sketchy. Sitting in the venue, drinking a bunch of free beers, which was great. And then someone looked at their watch and said, well, doors are open. Nobody there yet. And about an hour after that, we were thinking about like how we were going to bail and if we could try to get paid, even though we weren't going to play.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And these two dudes wandered in, like, it was like, we're here for the show. And we're like, ah, shit. So we grabbed an acoustic guitar that we had in the van. It wasn't even a full size one. It was like a kid's one.
Oh, like a three quarter.
Yeah. Like, and I played five songs and the other guy, singer of the other band, played four songs, and that was the show.
Holy shit, man. No way. That's so cool.
Yeah, we tried to get a case of beer, and they to go. They told us to fuck off, and that was
That's
fine.
So funny. Well, the reason why I asked is I want everybody who's in a band right now, who's considering starting or in a band and think it's hard. It is hard. It's just, you just have to keep going. That's the trick. You got to like outlive the other bands. It's like, you just keep going.
Yeah, it is. And I will say though, it's such a different world now. Like younger bands ask me like for advice. And I honestly don't know anymore what to do, because it was a much simpler time when we were starting out. We just got in a van or our cars and we played a show. And that's all we did. And we didn't worry about, you know, all the social media stuff and ads and videos. And like, there was nothing like that. So it's changed a lot, but I agree with you, man. You just have to keep going and you have to manage expectations and, you know, but it's great to see you guys understanding that. And, you know, you guys are legit and I'm so happy that you took the time to do this, and hopefully tons of people are finding out about Calling All Captains now.
Yeah, you know what? Thank you for having me. Like, have me back anytime. This is like one of my favorite things I've been a part of. But I want to, before I go, I want to say my biggest, the Calling All Captains mottos.
Okay, yeah. You know what I mean? I like this. Yep.
This is our keys. You know what I mean? So the first one is thoughts become things. It's, you know, like, since we've started this band, it's always been, you know, like, it's not if we're going to get there, it's when.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I love this. Yes.
That's one of the biggest things that, we all live that, you know what I mean?
So that's number one.
That's number one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Number one. Number two, if it was easy, everybody would be famous.
Sure.
You know, so that's why it's like, even when the going is good, you still have to work just as hard.
Yeah, I like that, you know? Too.
Then the last one, it's a classic and iconic quote, man. You know, everybody should know this well if they know the Big Lebowski. It's keep on keeping on, man.
Okay. How about this?
Yeah, that one works too. Yeah.
No.
Someone bring me a White Russian.
No, shout out to Big Lebowski. No, man, you know, I think that's cool though, that you guys are so proactive. You guys are so hardworking. And, you know, I'm just really happy to be somebody now that's a champion of you guys. And hopefully I can help you, you know, spread the word a little bit here and there. Especially at a time right now when it's hard and you can't do your own spreading by getting in a van and you know, doing the thing that you guys have worked so hard at.
Yeah, man. Maybe we can have one of these again when the record's out, and we'll see what happens.
Absolutely,
after that.
Dude. You are welcome here anytime. You are amazingly entertaining. I don't even know if you know how entertaining you are. You're a lot of fun, Luke. Thank you so much for doing this. I'll let you go. I'm going to stay on Twitch for a little while and hang out with everybody. But
no worries, man.
Anything else to tell the people?
Yeah. The new record is going to be called Slowly Getting Better.
Yes.
It's about dark shit. We're heavy and fast. There ain't no pop songs on it.
There you go. Okay.
Let's go, baby.
I love it. I love it. Luke, all the best, man.
Yeah, man. Take care.
Peace and love. We'll see you. And there he is. Luke from Calling All Captains. How great is that guy? Oh my God, that guy's a legend. Guy's an absolute legend. My goodness. Can you believe that guy? That was so fun. I did not know what to expect. I had never met Luke before. I hung out on the Calling All Captains Twitch channel, just last week, and had a great little hang with Nick on their bass player. Didn't know how rad Luke was. Next week, I'll be back with a really great episode. We've got a legend on the program. I usually don't spill the beans, but what the hell? Mr. George Corpse Grinder Fisher of Cannibal Corpse will be joining me, and He's the best. So don't miss that one. That will be up next week. And on Tuesday, switching gears a little bit, John from Switchfoot, live on Twitch. That's Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, twitch.tv/ShaneTold. Get over there. Give me a follow. The next 3 weeks are booked. John from Switchfoot, John from the Main, and Andy Sizek. They're going to be great, great streams over on Twitch. Shout out to you for listening. Shout out to all of our sponsors and all the members of the All Access Club. I love you all so much. Don't sleep on Calling All Captains either, okay? I'm going to play a tune right now. This one is called Chasing Ghosts on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. See you next time.
If you want bad, then go get it. Don't stop. Live your life. Don't just settle for nothing and let it all go.
I want to take this opportunity to thank my sinners so much, members of the All Access Club that support this show. We have so many awesome new members, and the old school members, the OG members as we call them, still killing it for me every month, helping us keep this thing on the air free for everyone else. Thank you so much. I want to shout out these people because you guys really are the lifeblood that keeps this thing going. Shout out to Zachary Johnson, Brandon Smith, Tanya, David Rivera, Alexis Carr, Tyler Hillshaner, Alyssa Lemoyne, Amanda Lemoyne, Scott Levine, Donna Brown, Juanita Osorio, Shelby Roberts, Marie Helene, Jesper Franson, Justin Pickering, Matthew Lauterbach, Cody France, Sean Grusso, Matt Miller, Vin Nguyen. This name just says T, but I think it might be you, Fernando. Ethan Thompson, Adam Hickok, Anthony Poplosky, my boy George, Francisco Perez, Wayne Jennings, Martin Jacobson, Caroline Kerouac, Christina Bravo, Alyssa Lowe, Josh Lowe, Nicholas Loveland, Ford Wesson, Julie Popelka, Robert Scott Lewis, Melissa Gilroy, Tanya Kopchewski, Rebecca Ferrero, Austin Amos, May I Help to You? I love that name. It's Michelle Ashley to you. Connor Larson, Brandon Ray, Connor Lynch, Philip Fradkin, Victoria Varr, Drew McDonald, my boy Dre, straight out of Australia, Markham Ray King, Cole Fenn, Roy Stino, Brandon Drescher, Rainer Ho, Nathan Riley, Gabby Marshall, Rigel St. Pierre, and last but certainly not least, Brendan Potter. I love you guys all so much. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the support. To everyone else, we'll see you next week. Peace and love.